Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right, fantastic. So,
yeah.
Do you remember when Shawn Michaels turned heel?
Yes.
And it was just like shocking that they did that, that they could do that.
You're talking about the whole barbershop thing.
No. I'm talking like 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
Oh, okay. I thought you were being like historic. He's done it. He's featured in Hill plenty of times in his career.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Do you remember the most recent time Shawn Michaels turned heel?
Yes.
Basically when he was of status of never turning heel again.
Right.
And we briefly mentioned, like, oh, who do you think is kind of there, is can never turn heel again? Because it's, you know, we live in a post-streak broken world, so anything can happen now.
Right. Like, yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about everything. Anything
can happen. The bottle has been opened, and now everything is spewing out.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that was, like, you know, the thing is, like, you can't turn Shawn Michaels or any kind of legend heel. I was like, Mick Foley can't turn heel at this one. You know, blah, blah, can't turn heel. And so, like, we're teetering on this, like, are they going to acknowledge Ric Flair kind of thing right now? Can you turn Ric Flair heel kind of thing? So.
But again, if they can turn Shawn Michaels heel, I think pretty much anything can happen.
But something that we didn't mention at the time.
Yeah.
Just because I'm sure you didn't, and I honestly didn't think about it, but I would have brought up if I had thought of it, I would not believe they would have ever turned Hornswoggle heel.
That's where you're going with this.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
I mean, and they don't.
I am shocked. Shocked, good sir.
I mean, all they did was just put him with 3MB.
Yeah.
That's all they did. Like, I didn't even know he was with 3MB until this match against El Torito last SmackDown. So this is what you've been thinking about all this time, this whole week.
Oh, it's a shocker.
That's a shocker.
That is a shocker. Yes.
And you think this is possible because we are in a post-streak society.
Anything can happen now. The streak has been broken.
It's gonna, like, I like how the streak is like gonna be like the like mark in history, like pre and post. Mm-hmm. Like that, like September 11th was obviously a huge thing, and so everything afterwards is referred to as like, oh yeah, we live in a post 9/11 society or something like that. Because of all the things that happened because of it.
Post-streak society.
So you think Hornswoggle was a direct or a direct offshoot from the streak being broken?
I'm just saying, I'm scared to say blah de blah will never happen now.
Honestly, at this point, I think, given the right circumstances, I think anyone can be turned anything. You know?
You think so?
Right. Yeah, I think so too.
I'm still not sure you can turn Punk heel.
Give him a gun and a pet.
He dumped Undertaker's father's ashes on him. And okay. He still had like a 50-50 split.
Okay, fine, but that wasn't a live execution. I think there's ways to turn people heel. Legally, I'm not sure, but
okay. And keep your show on the air and not have to pay fines.
Right.
Yes, Punk is like my last, like, I don't know if they can turn him in. And that is only because of crowd refusal.
Right.
Like, everything else is, you know.
Just because of knowing how far he went as a heel and still unable to get full on.
Full moves.
He got quite a few, but.
No, he did.
But not full on.
And you know, and there's like every other thing. I was like, you can never turn McFoley heel again because he doesn't come around enough, because he's, you know, cheap pop central, because you bring him in four cheers, so you wouldn't storyline want to turn McFoley heel again. They could turn McFoley heel. They could turn, you know, and they turn Shawn Michaels heel. I have a hard time seeing Vince McMahon as a face, but he's kind of been a face his past couple of
because appearances. Okay, well, and the thing is, what he's also got that situation where what's enabled him to do that is time. Because there's these long periods of time between
him... He's getting return pops now.
Exactly. He's getting return pops because we haven't seen him on TV in so long.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's got that going for him. So, really, you think Punk is, like, the pinnacle of guys that you cannot turn heel? Like, more so than Daniel Bryan? To be fair, I could see them doing something with Daniel Bryan in the future at some point. Turning him heel.
Daniel Bryan's... yes, he is more over than anybody ever, period.
Right.
But, like, he's still freshly over, and he's still, right. like... Yeah, you get him to, like... He can cut a promo next week that says... That where he turns the belts over, or uh-huh. he, you know, loses via finger poke of doom to somebody, to Triple H. You'll turn him heel just like that.
Right.
No, it's that's something that can be done. Punk, I don't know.
I mean...
And maybe, like... Yeah, it's a never-say-never kind of thing.
Well, you know, he did find a way to get booed in Chicago that one time.
He did, I was impressed.
And he did so by telling them he's not going to wrestle. Mm-hmm. So I think, with him walking out, that's telling the whole world that he's not going to wrestle, so everyone should hate him.
But they still get Punk chance.
Well, you know, you can't account for everyone's stupidity.
And those have been dying down, and, you know,
yeah,
that's fair. I don't...
I mean, you have... I believe their payback's going to be in Chicago again.
Yeah.
So you have that on the horizon, but, you know, the way they handled the Chicago crowd a couple months ago...
Again, well done.
Incredibly, incredibly well done on WWE's part, and that was exactly how they should have handled it. So you would imagine that there would be less to handle, but there probably will still be plenty.
Oh, no. They'll need to... I think that they will need to go in else. Expecting to either curb the audiences like they did last time or,
yeah.
you know, I don't know what they'll do, mm-hmm. but I think they do need to go in prepared for a bit more of a CM Punk insistent audience.
Than what they usually would get.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, they still get an occasion. I don't think they got a CM Punk chant this week.
If they did, I wasn't paying attention or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, like, one person in a crowd who's standing close enough to a microphone.
Right.
That you can hear him trying to start one. Or something, you know. Or if the match is bad enough, that'll usually kind of kickstart something.
Mm. Yeah, I don't remember what the situation was this week. I know Paul Heyman did say something when they went to the app. He did something where, like, you know, CM Punk couldn't beat the streak or something like that just to kind of get heat with the audience or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I actually downloaded the Speech Jammer app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So we were playing with that for a good, like, last third of Raw. So... Yeah.
So you didn't see... what happened?
I saw it. It was the final... The main event was...
It was Bray Wyatt and family.
Versus Cena.
Versus Cena, yeah.
And it really wasn't much different from what
no,
we've been seeing.
No, it's... You know, I have no problem with this... The way this feud is going.
Yeah, I just... I want a little bit more to kind of carry it over to the next pay-per-view. Like, what they did to WrestleMania in the WrestleMania match was fine, and I enjoyed it. I need something more. Like, some other justification on why this is continuing. Other than Bray, just... He's still wanting to stay after it or whatever. I don't know.
I really don't, honestly. Like, for me, it's enough to... Partially because it's not for a title or anything.
Right.
It's... You do have to have Cena on the show. You have to have him in a storyline. So, you know, that has to happen. And honestly, it's just the kind of thing where I'm like, yeah, you didn't defeat him soundly enough at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, you won the pinfall, but the cracks were shown, and that's enough for Bray to keep going for it, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, things continue onward. That's really all I need for that. If this match ends Extreme Rules, I'll be upset, because we'll be back in the CM Punk is more, or Cena is more important than the champion thing that we were with when CM Punk was champion.
Okay.
We were having that problem where Cena was main eventing
okay.
every pay-per-view.
Okay, yeah.
And they're putting the title somewhere in the middle.
Right, especially whenever the championship match has been set for Daniel Bryan and Kane. It's not exactly the biggest marquee of matches.
No, honestly, the biggest thing here, I think, is Evolution and Shield.
Yeah, that if anything, that might be the main event.
Yeah. And
I could see that happening.
And, like, I can see there being a kind of, you know, oh, look at Triple H putting himself in the main event, blah, 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 over the championship.
But it is kind of a story right now.
I'd rather see that.
Yeah, it's the A story going on right now, only because, you know, the Daniel Bryan absence of the past couple weeks. I mean, yeah, he was mm-hmm. briefly in there, you know, this week, but we all know why he had to leave.
Right.
So there's been a big Daniel Bryan absence. So the main driving story is Shield and Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me likes to go back to the whole, you know, championship needs to close out the show. But you also need to have the match that everyone's going to be into, that everyone has...
Everybody paid for them.
Right. So what everyone is willing to stick through the rest of your pay-per-view for.
Right.
John Cena versus John Laurinaitis is not that.
No, it is not.
It never was.
No, it's not.
This one, Shield and Evolution, I could see it because it is, like I said, the A story going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and you have three big matches. You have the Cena and Bray Wyatt. You have Shield and Evolution. And you have the championship match. And so they ended last week with Shield and Evolution. They ended this week with Cena and Bray Wyatt. Now, if they end next week, you know, the go-home show with a Daniel Bryan Kane thing, if they build up that Daniel Bryan Kane thing, it's not hard to do.
Yeah.
I find it a little odd that they haven't touched on Team Friendship at all. Like, that doesn't need to be a driving force.
But you would like some sort of mention, because it just ended. It didn't have any, like, any feud or anything. No one person turned on the other. They just stopped teaming together, then Kane was taken out by the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I would like some sort of mention, like you said. You know, we don't want that to be the driving force, because
the championship should be the driving force.
Right, and they haven't been a tag team in a year.
Exactly. And especially after everything Daniel Bryan went through to get that championship.
Yeah.
And part of it feels like, I don't know, we were so wrapped up in the build up to WrestleMania, but partially because it was WrestleMania 30, and partially because I don't know, comparing the build-up to 29 to 30, 29 was, we saw it 3 months in advance, how it could end, and it was just going through the motions.
Right.
And this one we saw in advance how it could end, but we also saw how many different ways
it
could go wrong.
Right.
And there was that edge of my seat, like that, I can't, if it has to, okay, they did this, but, and then... Oh, here it comes, and oh, we can, if it only, oh, whoo.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel much more like I need a breather after WrestleMania 30 than I did after WrestleMania 29. WrestleMania 29 was like, well, that's done, what's next?
Yeah.
This is like, okay, and now that we are in this, like, what's next, you know, Daniel Bryan versus Kane doesn't feel like it has the build-up, but it's competing against Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, then Daniel Bryan versus, you know... the triple threat match.
Right.
With some, you know...
Shenanigans.
And so, it's like, oh, now he's gonna fight Kane. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, everything's gonna seem, you know, less than... Because it is.
Yeah.
You know? So... Yeah, basically, it's... It's almost a placeholder type situation. Like, they need Daniel Bryan on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He is the champion. He is to defend the championship. But then we have the Shield and Evolution thing going on. So we need someone to step in. And, you know, I don't know who else they would put in there that wasn't already occupied with something.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kane makes sense. And again, like I've said on Twitter, he's, you know, not in slacks anymore. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And we get, you know, Maz Kane back. Which is better.
Yes. Yes.
Much better. Like, I was interested in where this could go, whenever they first took the mask off him and they did the whole, you know, director of operations. Then it kind of fell flat with me.
Honestly, there were so many people in charge.
Yeah. And it's confusing. Like, Brad Maddox is still the GM?
I think so.
But... it's not being acknowledged by, like, anybody. I mean, it's being acknowledged, but no one cares.
Yeah, but if Triple H and Stephanie are on the show on a weekly basis, then
right.
they're in charge.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, Brad Max is the guy on charge, but there is, like, you know, three people higher up the ladder than him running the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's all of that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm fine with Kane going back too. And it'll be a good match, because Kane...
Yeah.
Kane pulls out a good match every time, like...
Yeah, and, you know, him and Dan Bryan can have, has chemistry with just about anything.
Mm-hmm. So, not concerned about it. Mm-hmm. If they did something next week to make me, like, oomph excited, I guess.
Oomph?
Oomph.
Oh, with lots of oomph?
Lots of oomph.
Okay. Just to... I didn't know if that was, like, a weird, like, Oompa Loompa reference or loofah reference. I don't know.
Don't be weird, Chris.
I wasn't trying to be weird. I was trying to figure out what in the world you were saying.
Don't be weird, Chris.
Okay, I'm being weird, but you're the one with, you know, calls Buffalo Wild Wings BB Wawas.
BB Wawas. Okay, by the way, let me just go ahead and throw this out.
All right, throw it.
That if they don't do this, this is a serious ball dropped.
Okay.
So this is the second time this week that Evolution has stopped a Shield assault via 11 other guys. You know? And last week it was kind of this, like, Triple H has power, so he sends out 11 guys first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and if I was Triple H has power, so he does this again. If they do not have a storyline of these 11 heels trying to vie for that fourth slot in Evolution...
Yeah.
Like, why do you not do that?
That's a good way to fill up a pay-per-view card.
It is. It is,
Battle
it is.
Royals, tournaments,
it
whatever.
Is. You can do anything with those. And yes, it's heels versus heels, you know.
Right.
But, I don't know, it's something very interesting, very, like, not done.
Mm-hmm.
And also gives a reason why, you know, it's just heels coming out because they're angry and buddies.
Right.
You know, that kind of, something we always kind of, you know, have to just ignore why... This half of the locker room is friends, and this half of the locker room is friends, and they hate each other.
Mm.
You know, you just kind of ignore that because of the face and heel split.
Right. So you think, because obviously, well, I mean, the whole thing that is kind of looming is the fact that Evolution might not be a thing for very long because Batista is reportedly leaving after Extreme Rules to do his promotional obligations.
Is he leaving that soon?
I believe that's what it is.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's the rumor that's going out there right now. So there is this thing where, like, if they were going to do that, they probably should go ahead and establish that before one of the guys leave. Uh-huh. So it isn't like, you know, oh, we need to find Batista's replacement, you know.
Right.
Because that storyline's dumb. Unless they want to bring Batista back as a face. And then, you know, go after
just them. Try again?
Yeah, go after them for trying to replace him or something.
I can live with that. I mean, I liked the little Evolution video that we got this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the kind of thing where, like, it does serve as a nice reminder. A good portion of the audience, you know, today probably was not around for the original.
No, yeah, because, I mean, you heard the beginning of their Evolution theme music when they first, you know, came back as a group. Not a whole lot of people were, like, you know, popping for it. You know, even I was like, what? Like, I was looking at the logo. I was like, what is that weird, like, grill thing looking? Mm-hmm. And then I looked closer. Oh, Evolution. Oh, that's where I heard this music before.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't very instant with me. Because, you know, it was a while back.
It's a little bit like when...
9 years ago, maybe, I think?
Was it 9 years ago?
2004, jeez, 2005, yeah. Jeez. Because they were at WrestleMania 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a little bit like when a Diva Battle Royale comes out and, like, we start hearing music. We're like, I know I've heard that music before. Let's yeah. Oh, okay, that's who that's for.
No, because it happened to me again on Raw at the beginning of the show when Stephanie came out. Her music hit first, and I'm like, okay, I know it's Diva's song, but who? And they cut over and Stephanie's coming out. I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, our friend Beards, he said that her theme music should just be, like, Shrieking Dragons and the Cries of Babies. Yeah, that would be appropriate.
Yeah. No, that happens a lot when, like, I don't know, there's a lot of, like, when it comes from a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
when it's not, you know, The Rock has his If You Smell, and then there's the glass shattering right. thing, and then the car crash McFoley. If there's not, like, a sound effect starter, then, yeah, it's kind of a, oh, it's, okay, we're good, here we go, yeah. So, But also, I'll also get it when I'm watching, like, old pay-per-views, like, with the network now, and people have the wrong theme music. Like, CM Punk's thing before Cult of Personality.
Oh,
like, I'll hear the music, and I'll be like, oh, yeah. That's who that goes to.
I did like that theme music.
Yeah.
I almost like it a little bit more than Cult of Personality.
Nope.
Because I feel like it fits Punk, but whatever.
It fit Punk good for the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'll totally say that.
Now, sure, yeah, Cult, he kind of molded into it.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see, what else got happened?
Continued the tournament.
They continued the tournament. I was kind of surprised RVD won. I kind of assumed that they were going to...
This is a whole... You assume this is a big vehicle for Cesaro.
Well, I assume this was, you know, because they were going kind of throughout, you know, on a 3-week series,
mm-hmm.
they would, you know, gauge the reaction and kind of decide who won from there.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a, you know, very slow push to, like, test waters with a lot of people at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, because WWE already kind of went... Over, I don't want to say over the deep end, but they already kind of went full force with the full-on push of Cesaro at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, yeah, you know, it makes sense that he's being pulled away to this whole thing with Swagger.
Yeah.
It makes logical sense, fine, but...
I mean, and I still don't know if they want Cesaro to be a face or a heel.
Yeah, it's confusing.
I mean, he acts like a face, but Paul Heyman was there to get heat this week. The whole broke the streak thing.
Yeah, the whole breaking the streak thing has nothing to do with Cesaro whatsoever.
No.
But it's still designed, I guess, to get that heat from the audience, even though it has nothing to do with him.
So my only guess is that this is a very limited time partnership that will be over by SummerSlam. With, like, a Cesaro-Brock match or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I could see that going.
So, I mean, that's a straight repeat of the CM Punk feud from last year.
Oh, God, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
So, they're not waiting their customary... Like, would JR say, every 7 years you can recycle storylines because the audience is new enough?
Right. And now they're not even waiting a year.
Nope, not even a year. So...
Yeah. All either that or I could see Cesaro winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a nice little breath of fresh air that, you know, after the whole Sandow thing. Does it still hurt?
That hurts bad.
Okay, still bruised up?
Mm-hmm.
Can't poke at it?
I don't know, I'm still more upset with Cena's burial of Ziggler than his burial of Sandow.
Burial of Ziggler, what are you talking about?
That, I don't know, during, the end of the AJ with Ziggler's kind of group. Or I guess the beginning of the AJ with Ziggler's group kind of thing.
But he won.
Ziggler?
Their TLC match or whatever for the Money in the Bank briefcase. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
It was around that same time because that was when AJ was...
I'm talking about where Cena beat Ziggler, 3 weeks in a row, cleanly. Mm. And he kicked out of, three zigzags and a sleeper hold... And a Big E finisher.
Okay.
And then cleanly pinned him with one AA. I was and for 3 weeks in a row, just no-sold everything Ziggler had to offer.
Hmm.
It was a bad...
So it was, I'm assuming it was after...
Yes.
After the whole, the TLC match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It was somewhere, it was kind of... It was in the lead-in to WrestleMania 29, but before... The Rock came back, and Cena could really focus on The Rock.
Well, no, before
it would be before
it was the while Rumble. Rock was still occupied by Punk.
Yeah, it was before the Rumble, so it was probably in those 3 weeks. It was post TLC, pre Rumble, that kind of that area.
Fair enough.
Just endless burial of Ziggler. I'm still upset about that.
That's, I know because they had a really big moment with Ziggler, especially when he beat Cena at TLC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it was because of AJ, but you know he did kind of hit a super kick to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done something big with him, but then again, they could have done something big with him when he had the belt.
Yeah. There's a thousand times they could have done something big with
him. Right. And yeah, you know, getting a concussion isn't...
Great.
It isn't great, it doesn't help his cause, but he did come back.
Yes.
They didn't have to have him lose in his first title defense.
Yes.
You know? They could have let him carried a little bit longer.
And yeah, the Sandow cash in was kind of like, oops, we wrote ourselves into a corner.
Yeah.
And I feel like that first cash in loss, like, yeah, Cena was technically the first person to cash in and lose.
Right.
But like,
but shenanigans went down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like they could have done something more with that. They kind of panicked and gotta get rid of this.
Yeah.
Don't want this looming over any storylines.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know. Yeah. And we were hoping that after he did that, because, you know, Sandow did get a legit, you know, match out of it.
Mm-hmm.
He got a couple, and they were pretty good. Better than what we had seen from Sandow in recent memory. And they were like, alright, well, you know, this is him being a good company man. WWE's gonna, you know, they'll make sure that this will pay off for Sandow eventually, and then nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Apparently he's gonna be involved in whatever the Hugh Jackman thing next week.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he's going to be involved because they need a heel. Maybe he'll be the next guy that Hugh Jackman punches.
Punches.
Because, you know, Ziggler's a face now, so they gotta you know, bury that hatchet. And then their combined forces will punch Sandow.
Poor Zack Ryder is watching this whole feud and being like, hey, you guys.
Yeah, because...
Hey, you guys.
Because I remember that, because that was like the first big night for the whole Ryder thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was like, I remember Hugh Jackman was like, I need someone pathetic, you're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought him out and they beat him.
Yeah.
And so, oh, how things have changed since then.
Mm, yeah. I am surprised that's been, like, when they put it was like 2011, I think.
Yeah.
They said, I am surprised it has been that long.
Yeah.
Since Hugh Jackman was on Raw. Because
they have not had that many guest hosts.
No, they haven't.
In the past year or so.
No, they haven't.
After they stopped doing it every freaking week.
Sometimes I miss the weekly guest host. Not every week.
Sometimes I miss them having guest hosts at times.
Yes.
Certain guest hosts were really good. They were really perfect. Seth Green was a really good host. I really enjoyed that one. Yeah, and Hugh Jackman I enjoyed.
Hugh Jackman I enjoyed.
Not as good as the Muppets, but, you know,
I enjoyed.
That's a very tall act to follow.
Yes.
Yes. Bob Barker was great.
Mm-hmm.
I even liked Shaq, because he actually, you know, got in the ring and he did a bump or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I liked Wayne Brady.
I don't even remember that happened.
No, I like Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady took an RKO.
He did, didn't he?
Remember, he just took like a full-on RKO. I was like, I'm impressed, Wayne Brady.
All right. Okay. I'm just not remembering. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly.
I like Shatner.
Okay. Was that the week that they did the theme song?
Shatner sings WWE entrance music?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, that's pretty much what was the best thing for me. Like, that's what made his appearance so great.
Oh, no, it totally was. I don't remember what he did on the show.
Oh, what's his name from Entourage? No, he was the host.
I don't know.
And he technically had Ken Jeong on, but he called him Mr. Chow or whatever. Because he was in the whatever movie he was in.
Oh, yeah. Vaguely.
Yeah. So technically, Ken Jeong was a guest host on Raw.
Yeah.
I can't remember what, but all I know is he was infamous for calling it Summerfest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, instead of SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Oh, that always hurts.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know anything about wrestling.
I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but yeah.
Wasn't it Jeremy Piven?
Yeah, Jeremy Piven. Nah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't
Probably one of the worst ones was, you know, the New Stooges.
Yeah.
That was a bad...
That was after the weekly thing.
Wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was just an occasional guest host.
Mm.
So
that was a bad time to roll that one out.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen more out of Betty White.
Yeah.
Just because Betty White's hilarious, and I, you know, anything that she's involved in seems to turn to gold. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some other ones that I liked, some other ones that I enjoyed. I wish they would have more Joe Manganiello than what they did whenever he was with Arnold.
Yeah.
Because he is a very avid wrestling fan, so You didn't really get to see that whole lot of that.
Yeah, see that, I mean, a lot of what I like there is the guys who are wrestling fans.
Right, and you can absolutely tell.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even have to be current wrestling fans.
No, 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 yeah, they just be familiar with the product at some point in your life, mm-hmm. you know, them that you enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, it varies. And yes, a weekly guest host. I mean, I am not advocating for that return.
Right.
No, because we had some guest hosts, and that was a waste of time.
But one that I absolutely, incredibly, like, hated, Michael Strahan. And that was, like, not too long ago.
Michael Strahan?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember him being on there.
Yeah, it was like, it was so recent that the Wyatt family was on there. And really? he was, I don't know, he was trying to undermine something that the Wyatts had done or something. I forgot what it was, but it was just, the entire show was just terrible because of him being on it.
Alright. If you say so, don't remember.
Fair enough. So, I mean, maybe that was probably done on purpose.
I don't know. Basically what we're saying is, good luck, Hugh Jackman. You did good last time.
Right. And
make it a twofer.
He's an incredible, likable dude.
He is.
So, I feel like it's going to be difficult for him to be terrible, to fail, or however you want to describe it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for him to fail. I mean, just put him with the right people. Like, Aaron Paul didn't need much of, you know, anything to kind of get him over the crowd, but then they put Ziggler with him, and you heard that reaction when he came out. Like, mm-hmm. It was pretty huge. I mean, granted, that was mostly for Ziggler, but, you know.
But whatever.
It helps. Yeah, whatever. You got the crowd to cheer at the right point.
Mm-hmm.
That's all WWE cares about.
Yeah. Make publicists happy so that celebrities keep coming on.
There you go. What celebrity do you want to see that we haven't seen on...
That we haven't seen? Mm-hmm. David Arquette.
We have seen him.
Was he a guest host?
He was a guest host. So, yeah, because he hosted one of the Slammies.
He came out for one of the Slammies.
Yeah, no, because it was during that time. So he counted as the guest host that week.
Oh, did he? All right, yeah. Then fine.
He came out with dumb, like, Elvis get-up or whatever.
No, he came out because he's a heel, technically. Technically, he's a heel wrestler.
Okay, fine.
I love it. That's horrible. The worst thing.
Okay, so who we haven't seen at all.
Do you have an answer?
Not off the top of my head.
I can't pick, like, The Rock.
I would like Joel McHale.
Yeah?
He already has a good rapport with people coming on The Soup.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hilarious. I think that would be really cool. Really good.
Yeah? No, that would be a good one. Actually, just about anybody in the community cast.
Yeah.
Even Chevy Chase.
Oh, could you imagine? Because Chevy loves his physical humor. You imagine the skits that they would do backstage with him?
That's the thing. Like,
which is him, Hornswoggle, and Ice Cream Machine, and you're done.
I would actually prefer, like, the backstage videos of, like, Chevy insisting on what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And insisting that he, like, takes a bump. A real bump.
Oh.
They'd be like, no, Chevy, no.
That's not never going to happen. No.
That's what I want.
Chris Hardwick would be great.
Chris Hardwick would be good.
But you would probably need to have Punk back,
mm-hmm.
since they are kind of best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have a good rapport with other wrestlers, so...
Yeah. I mean, there's people like, you know, if you're just giving people, like, Tony Jaa would be amazing, or, like, Ray Park would be amazing.
Oh, Tony Jaa in a wrestling ring.
Because he would, like, just...
Oh, dear God! Full disclosure, my sister's not going to listen to this, so I can talk about the big surprise. My sister's birthday's coming up, and so I'm putting together a little... dumb little video, but one of them was Tony Jaa from The Protector a few years back, and so I've just been watching a bunch of Tony Jaa, like, just highlight reels, and oh dear God, that guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Put him in a ring with bouncy things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear God, you won't need fireworks.
No, you have him there. Stephen Chow would be amazing.
Remind me who that is?
He did Shaolin Soccer. Kung
Fu. Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he also does very cartoony,
right?
Yeah. You know, martial arts and stuff. And so to have him bouncing over stuff.
There are people who you think would, you know, actually take
There's a lot of things where, like, you know, a celebrity puts themselves in a match where, you know, then they have to, like, you know, really cater towards the celebrity, like,
yeah,
pushing somebody over and tripping them. And you're like, you know, blank heel. Damien Sandow, I saw you, you know, have a triple powerbomb last week, and you just got knocked out by a face slap from Jewel. What's going on this time? You feeling down, buddy?
He took a slap from Jewel. I love it. Oh, dear God. Oh man. Now that you say that, I so wish Sarah McLachlan would come on Raw and slap someone just so I could put it in slow motion and use the Angels for what I use for every single one of our news segments.
Fair enough. God, what's her name? The women's champion in UFC.
Ronda Rousey.
Yes, thank you. I'd have her as a guest host.
Again, Punk would have to be back. Punk
would have to come back.
I mean, you say it like it's such a chore. Oh, yeah, I guess we would have to have Punk come back for that. Oh, woe is me.
Yeah. But anybody that could take a bump, take a hit, mm-hmm. actually, like, you know, do kind of something. And they don't have to, like, again, Wayne Brady, he took a hit. He didn't, like, win his match.
No, but he wasn't. I don't think he was in a match.
He just took an RKO.
It was part of, like, a talking segment or something like that.
So, yeah, but he just took a nasty one.
Yeah.
So anybody that willing to and able to physically take a nasty bump, mm-hmm. you know, I'm game for that.
I'm still daydreaming about Tony John in a wrestling ring. Sorry.
Is that your pick now? Are you stealing my pick?
I mean, as much as I would love Joel McHale and Chris Hardwick for, like, the comedic aspect, there's so many things you could do with Tony John.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Obviously a lot of...
The guy could be standing still and still, like, knee Big Show in the face.
He could use his knees. Like, as impressed as we are with Daniel Bryan's, like, mm-hmm. flying knee finisher, like, yeah, Tony Jaa could use his knees.
He could slice an orange with very, 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 very small precision with his knees.
Yeah. I don't know, just, I'm thinking about things. Part of this is thinking about things I wouldn't hate, you know?
Well, yeah.
Because it is. It's there's 3 hours to fill. Mm-hmm. And not all of it can be filled furthering storylines. And so sometimes it's like, just, and then sometimes like, oh, okay, I can live with that. So there's stuff like, you know, if they booked like Ricky J to come on,
mm-hmm.
he's the magician.
Okay.
He's the famous magician. Sorry, he's a famous magician.
Okay.
And he's had a lot of, like, you know, shows.
They did Famous Magician once, and then, no.
When they do a famous
magician? They had Chris Angel.
That... Different kind of magician.
Okay, I thought you were about to say that doesn't count. I'm sorry, illusionist. Chris Angel.
Like, no, he does a lot of, like, card tricks.
Okay.
Close hand magic. So, no, but he can come up.
Is that the technical term for that?
Close up magic, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Close up magic.
I have
hand
no
magic,
idea.
Street magic. I don't know. Not like it's not stage performance. It's not sawing people in half and stuff. It's
right.
I mean, and the thing is, like, they'd stick him with 3MB, and he would, like, you know, magically, like, pull a card out of, you know, Heath Slater's hair, and, like, Heath Slater would get frustrated. Like, that's the gimmick that they would do there.
Right. So it'd be almost like the Amazing Jonathan type skit.
Yeah. It's okay. And, I don't know, those, you know, things leading up to Raw 1000 where Heath Slater would come out to get beat by the celeb of the week
right.
kind of thing, or the old wrestler of the week.
Yeah.
So it's there's a little bit of, like, that kind of pit that you fall into.
Mm-hmm. Because Heath Slater really hasn't had anything to do since then.
Since then. Now Hornswoggle's part of 3.5 MB.
I was waiting for somebody to call it that. I love it.
I'm sure I'm not the first person to make that joke.
No, not at all.
So, and is it because he's gonna be the new Leprechaun? Are they turning him heel? Because I'm assuming he's a bad guy in the Leprechaun movie.
I guess wasn't Leprechaun a bad guy?
No, he's.
I've never seen a Leprechaun movie, so.
But I'm
not
like,
even the one in the hood
was. Two.
I don't know.
I think it was two was Back to the Hood. Let me just go to my Leprechaun plan.
Because that implies that the Leprechaun started in the Hood.
Well, it's back to the Hood. I think the digit two.
Yes, but...
Maybe four was...
Yes.
Four was when he went to space, I think.
Oh, God.
I think he went to space in four. Anyway, that's beside the point. Wasn't Kane a heel when See No Evil came out?
Yeah.
Like, that was the big thing. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of thing I'm guessing.
And we know See No Evil 2 is going to be coming out at some
point. So, I'm glad they brought back the, you know, Big Red Machine Devil's Monster Favorite Demon thing for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they turn Miz heel and face again. Oh, he's got a movie.
Oh, right. He's got another Marine movie.
So.
And now he's doing it. He's doing another one.
He's in Marine 4, and somebody else is in Marine 4, too.
Summer Rae.
Summer Rae's in Marine 4, that's
right.
Which
is why she's not on TV right
now.
Which
is why they broke up.
Yeah, which is why, Dangle and her broke up.
Sure.
So, I mean, got Layla. Now we got an actual dancer.
Yeah. So, well, I'm sure that we'll find out much more about it on future seasons of Total Divas.
Oh, right. I stopped watching Total Divas.
You stopped watching Total Divas?
I don't know, like, just, I've been in this mood this week where, like, if I'm watching something and it gets awkward, I stop watching it.
Okay.
Total Divas? I don't know. I've been in that mood this week. Like, Total Divas, and I've also sworn off Mad Men.
Oh, really?
Because this episode of Mad Men was super awkward. Like every scene was, you know, a different character in a different situation. But the situation was super awkward, and I hate that. I don't, mm-hmm. It made me feel uncomfortable, and I don't like feeling like that.
That's why I kept getting behind on The Office.
Yeah.
That Scott's Tots episode.
Yeah.
Maybe took me like a month to watch, because every time it'd be awkward, I'd have to stop it again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Like, I won't go into tell you what the scene was, because this isn't Mad
this
Minotaur.
This isn't a Mad Minotaur.
Mad Minotaur! New podcast idea.
I would listen to Mad Minotaur. Just a guy being angry about something, and we pretend he's a Minotaur. like Brock, you know, those like Brock Lesnar things,
right? But he would have like the Monty Python like coconuts.
Yes.
Let me walk to the kitchen.
But like you, I don't know. They get posted a lot where it's like, it's, you know, it's basically all in all caps, and it's like Bork Smash kind of like,
right.
Brock Lesnar trying to understand anything in his like small angry brain. It's like Bork Laser defeat Pepsi Man, take Pepsi Man power. Which is basically like the entire Brock Lesnar, you know, the entire Punk feud with Punk kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that, except it's Mad Minotaur.
Mad Minotaur. Oh, God. All right, that's going to go on your board of ideas.
That's on the to-do list.
Wow, this was a fun podcast.
God, this is nothing about wrestling.
We talked about Raw for a little bit, then we went on our guest host that we like, what we want as guest host, and then we just started talking about Mad Men and Minotaurs.
Okay. You want to do what's making you happy?
This whole conversation.
I mean, is there anything else in wrestling that we need to cover this week?
AJ left.
AJ left.
AJ did leave.
Mm-hmm. I will say, okay, so.
Or took a leave of absence or something, I don't know.
No, something with Punk.
Obviously.
Does Paige have the only undefeated streak? I was trying to think of this while I was watching it. Is she the only undefeated wrestler?
Right now?
Yes.
Rusev.
He lost the Royal Rumble.
Okay, fine. I didn't know that counted.
That counts.
Excuse me.
Anytime where you're in a match and you don't win, you lost. Here's how sports work.
Yes. Okay, fine. Fine, whatever. You should have said undefeated in their singles career. Whatever.
I didn't say that. I said undefeated, which is why the Royal Rumble counts.
Who's a jerk now?
You are.
Shut up.
Is there anybody like in the back weird that I'm not thinking of?
Unless there's like a weird like phenomenon going on with Yoshitatsu that I don't know about.
Yoshitatsu has definitely been defeated.
Okay.
I have seen him defeated on many an occasion.
Fair enough. I have no idea.
But like,
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Well, alright. Go Paige.
Hooray, Paige.
So she didn't seem so surprised at her victory this week.
Finally.
Finally, it's been the third match ever.
I know, but she
Calm
was
down.
So surprised and bewildered that she would ever beat Alicia Fox.
You're literally upset that one thing happened one time, and you seem to think that's justified to use the word finally.
Yep.
Since you've been, you know, destroyed by this onslaught for nearly a year.
I stand by it. I make no apologies.
I like that evolution of a character where she's like growing more confident in her abilities.
Did you just confirm Paige is the fourth member of Evolution? Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Fair enough.
Because that's something Evolution has been missing, the female element.
Well, I mean, yeah, because I don't know. I would like for a stable to have all the belts, you know?
Right.
Like, and that might have happened at some point that is escaping me, but
probably, yeah.
But you know,
I think there was a point in Evolution where all three guys had a belt.
Where all three guys had a belt, yeah. That or
right.
I think all four guys might have had a belt at one point.
Oh, they might have, yeah. And then of course, Shields all have belts, not B belts.
Yeah, but I would be interested.
Never still has the U.S. championship. I think, like, he's going to screw around and be the longest reigning U.S. champion of all time.
I just like, every time that graphic pops up, that the Shield versus Evolution, and he still has that belt, you're just like, ah, yeah, hey.
Right.
Look at that. Somebody's a champion in this match.
I'm doing bad podcasting. I'm looking to see how close Dean Ambrose is to all time.
All right.
So I'm looking that up on my phone. So talk amongst yourselves, guys.
But AJ's left for Punk. We're assuming. That might not be true. But AJ's gone, and Paige is champion, and, how was I saying? So, how big of a group would you need to have to feasibly have one faction have all the belts?
Mm-hmm.
Because they've combined two of the belts now, so that could go to somebody. And then you have the two other... I mean, somebody could have all the belts that aren't Divas and Tag Team. You have that, you know, Triple H having all the belts kind of picture. But you need, you know, like... DX could have done it when they had Chyna. I feel like some incarnation of the NWO could have done it at some point.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm kind of surprised that they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have.
And that's honestly something where, like, I'm not even, like, chomping at the bit. Like, this is the perfect storytelling moment that I wish that they had. It's just kind of something I'm like, why don't they do that at some point? Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They gotta do everything, and they gotta fill up 52 weeks of storytelling a year. So why don't they, at one point, just have a faction that has all the titles?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Evolution could do it. Like, you know. Tag team champions pretty quickly, and Gee Stephanie could win the title.
Theoretically, yeah.
I mean, she's had that title, or I guess she's had the women's title before, hasn't she? Yeah, because I think Linda McMahon's the only McMahon to have not held the championship title at some point. So
yeah, all right. So I do have a the longest reign is Lex Luger, the U.S. Championship, 523 days. I don't know where
Dean Ambrose.
I know he's coming up on a year. I do know that much.
Mm-hmm.
So he's at 300 something by now. So
basically, if he retains at Night of Champions, he'll get it.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, probably. Which is probably the next time he defends it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. Want to jump into what's making you happy this week?
What's making you happy?
The Following. I've been watching The Following.
Okay.
It was pretty good. It's a weird show to make you happy. It's not making you happy, but I like finding new shows that I like.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's been cool. The Blackhawks finally won a playoff game. So now they're only down 2-1. That's making me happy. Wrestling related. I don't know. Like, I'm not in a state of, like, hating everything. I'm more of a state of just cool to everything, you know?
Alright.
So I'm just kind of mellow. What about you?
This isn't what's making you mellow.
Well, I like to try to come up with some wrestling-related thing.
Yeah.
But I just, I'm coming up blank right now.
What's making me happy wrestling-related? I stumbled upon... some point in, like, 2007, maybe 2006 or 8, somewhere around there, Family Feud had a TNA week.
Oh, where, God.
just where TNA wrestlers are there every week, and they're all on YouTube. And so I spent some time and watched the entire TNA week of Family Feud. And that was the time that, like RVD was there, Mick Foley was there, Ken Anderson was there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of a lineup that was, you know, TNA.
Very TNA-ish.
At the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was just really enjoyable.
All right.
Watching these guys. It's worth a watch. It's late enough that Steve Harvey was hosting, and Steve Harvey's been the best host of Family Feud for quite a long time.
I didn't have a ranking system of the Family Feud hosts, but I'll take your word for it.
Definitely watch Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey is like, you just watch him host Family Feud. He is so disappointed with, like, the human condition.
Okay.
And he tries so hard. It's just, it's so entertaining. Because you've seen Family Feud.
Yes.
People make bad guesses.
Oh, okay.
All the time, okay. On Family Feud.
Okay, so he has a bigger reaction to,
yes,
bad decisions. Okay, now I see what you're,
like,
saying.
Like, somebody, like, you know, what word ends with, you know, pot? And you're supposed to say, like, pot holder or pot lid or something. And this woman's like, potato. And it's like, Steve Harvey just dies.
Oh,
it's
like, God.
And then potato is one of the answers.
Of course it is.
And then Steve Harvey dies more inside.
Oh, please tell me it was, like, 2 points.
So, I think it's like 14.
That's dumb.
I don't remember. But, watching some of these people, you know, watching Steve Harvey have to deal with some of these wrestlers, and some of the things, especially in, like, the final showdown, whatever that's called, on Family Feud.
I had no idea.
It's a treat. It's worth it. Okay. So that's what's making me happy wrestling related. It's 2007 Family Feud
TNA week. I'm sitting here, like, I don't know if surprised is the right word, but I shouldn't be surprised that you know all this stuff about Family Feud, because this is right up your freaking alley. Like, you have to watch Jeopardy every day.
I don't watch Jeopardy every day. Just most of them.
Just almost all day.
Jeopardy's the best game show ever.
Okay.
Hands down.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you, because I don't watch game shows.
Alright.
Alright. That's right, it's time for the Mail Sack!
Mail Sack! Mail Sack! Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail Sack! Mail Sack! Let's all go inside! Mail Sack! Mail Sack! Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail Sack! Mail Sack!
It's your mail sack!
Alright, we start off this week from our guest from last week, which hopefully you guys have heard at some point. Hopefully we're going to get that out to you soon-ish.
Yes, technical difficulty jerks.
Yes. This comes from Rhett Davis. He wants to know, what do we think about Eric Young winning his title the same week that Daniel Bryan did, in more or less the same exact storyline?
So, aren't you glad we acknowledged TNA earlier in the podcast now?
Okay, so Rhett wants to know what I think about this. I don't think very much, because I don't watch TNA. So I heard vaguely about it. I don't know enough about it to really talk about it.
Honestly, my biggest thing is, you know, there's a lot of finger pointing, I guess. There's a lot of accusing TNA
of
copying WWE and doing it poorly and, you know.
Right.
And poor booking, because it's so fly by the seat of your pants, because it's so reactionary. And, you know, and then if you want to get super, you know, overblown about it, this is what ruined WCW, was, you know, constant reactionary trying to fight. And TNA is so much smaller, they're trying to fight a giant that they have no hope of toppling.
Right.
And the refusal to try and be their own thing, they're just trying to be WWE over and over again and continue the thing and actually win. All that. And this can be thrown into that, except I don't know how far in advance TNA is taped now.
Right.
Because they're back to taping it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And, you know, yeah, WrestleMania was about that time, and I think they had a good enough guess that Daniel Bryan was going to win WrestleMania. And if he didn't, we all wanted him to. So, maybe they could have some kind of, like, your deserved champion didn't win the WWE, but he did at TNA. Come watch TNA. Mm. I don't know. It's, and again, like, yeah, I haven't been keeping super track of the Eric Young plight storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a super, you know, off the wall story. It's a guy wants the title. He's kept down.
Yeah, he,
until the moment that he's not kept down.
It's the whole classic underdog story. Like, you know, WWE doesn't necessarily own it.
Yeah,
you know, the timing might be a little suspicious, but still, it's whatever. You know,
I mean, I don't know. TNA. I mean, they have a insurmountably long way to go before they are ever legitimate competition for WWE. And I do think that, you know, a lot of like stuff where, yeah, Eric Young is a more of a homegrown talent for TNA than, you know, I've complained, and not me, like everybody's complained like about some of the thing about TNA just being the people that WWE doesn't want anymore. And that being so painstakingly obvious that their main roster is only these guys. But at the same time, you know, I couldn't have told you who Eric Young was, you know, maybe 4 weeks ago.
Right.
And it's, you know, double-edged sword kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's, I don't think it's going to have any effect, probably positive or negative, in any kind of way, really.
No, me neither.
There's got to be something huge to make me take notice of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened a couple of times, you know. Things that come right to mind, the squashing of Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
At, you know, Sting, you know, at the end of, I think it was Victory Road. You know, just that, you know, 53-second match.
Right.
Kind of thing. I was like, I gotta find out what's happening on TNA. Everybody's angry, and I don't know why. Oh, the one
where Jeff Hardy was clearly messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that one.
Okay.
And then when Jeff Hardy came back to, you know, did his little apology thing, I was like, I gotta watch TNA. I gotta figure out what's gonna, you know, what's happening here. There were some things, with Bobby Roode turning face and heel and face and heel and the thing with Hogan. And honestly, like, yeah, I want to watch that. That's a mess.
Right, yeah.
What's happening?
That was more of like a train wreck scenario than anything.
Yeah. But it's something interesting. You know what? If you're going to do train wreck wrestling.
Well, yeah.
You know? $5 wrestling exists for a reason because there's an audience for it.
Yeah.
And you might not be able to do that on a huge scale. And if that's not your goal, don't settle for that. You know, try, if you want to be a genuine, you know, WWE juggernaut alternative direct competition, yes, strive for that, but, you know, you can't do it overnight, and it's not going to be one storyline, one moment that does it. Because there have been those moments, and I have been hooked in several times into TNA. And I have fallen away from TNA every time for a reason. Right. And that's the reason. Is because you've never hooked and capped.
Gotcha.
So, and WWE has the advantage of, like, habit and ease and lays and, you know, yeah, I'll tune in because it's Monday. More times than I'll tune in because I'm excited about it.
Right.
But it took, you know, it probably took 4 months of me being excited that it was Monday and that I am watching wrestling today and here we go, let's see what it is, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Before I was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough.
4 solid months of content, I'd say you got me. We're at 0. Good luck.
All right, move on. This comes from Sideshow Bob. The first part is, he said, this year, whether people like the outcome of the Wyatt Cena match or the length of the Shield match or the end of the streak or whatever, everyone generally seems to agree that this is one of the better all-time WrestleManias. It seemed to hold hope for future stars. That said, CM Punk with the walkout, you know what a fan he could be sometimes, along with always talking about change for the company in the long run. Now that we're a few weeks removed, do we think Punk's standpoint was a walkout now worth being off the WrestleMania card? Like, what do you think is going through his head, seeing how WrestleMania played out because, and kind of judging if it was worth it. Because from the standpoint of the company changing for the better and, you know, featuring the right people and using them in the right way,
mm-hmm.
I think it's for the better.
Yeah.
Because we got this card because CM Punk walked out. It shuffled a lot of things around.
Do you think Punk regrets walking out having seen the WrestleMania 30 card? WrestleMania, which, you know, was one of the best, if not the best, WrestleMania. Like, you know.
So do you think you're asking if I think Punk regrets not being on the card? No. I don't think he does.
Do you think that just because you don't think Punk is the kind of guy to live with regrets?
Partially that. Partially because he was not going to be in the main event. You know, if he was going to be on the card, he was not going to be in the main event.
That's true.
That was just, it was, apparently WWE, I don't know if they were just set in stone or what the talk was there, because again, like, only three people know what was said, or only three people know the real reason why he walked out for sure. But apparently they weren't going to budge on the main event. Now, then we saw Daniel Bryan and they budged on the main event, but still, like, this was Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania to main event.
It was.
Anyone else would have felt weird or wrong.
It was. I mean, as much as I'll always be CM Punk number one wrestler and I want him forever.
Yeah, me too.
The build-up since SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, okay. I don't know. I feel like, you know, the one guy excited for the wrong thing.
Right. Yeah. And
It feels like when you go to a concert because you're really excited about the opening act.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, you're really into that opening act and then the show's kind of over for you. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is excited and you're like, yay, they're nice too.
Right. Now, here's another question I have. Do you think Daniel Bryan would be in the position that he is today if it wasn't for CM Punk? Like, do you think there would be a Daniel Bryan yes movement thing if it wasn't for Punk trying, you know, Punk...
For Punk with the pipe bomb?
Punk with the pipe bomb and kind of setting all these things into motion. Because, yeah, he had his World Heavyweight Championship reign, Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt more like a tryout whenever that he had his 3-month thing against Punk when Punk had the championship.
Yeah.
I felt like that was a big turning point for Daniel Bryan.
I mean, the biggest turning point for Daniel Bryan was the 18-second match.
Well, yeah, obviously. Very true. But that was a year before that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. That was the same year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that got the fans going. And then from there, he had that 3-month program with Punk. And then started the whole... And then after that, Team Friendship.
I mean, okay, so let's say Punk did walk out, lost at Money in the Bank,
mm-hmm.
and left the company.
Right.
And was these days probably wrestling at Ring of Honor, you know, or...
Or just not wrestling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... And there's very much a chance, even if he did lose at Money in the Bank, mm-hmm. and, you know, didn't sign the contract, needed the time off, took the time off, there's a good chance that that would not have been his last time in WWE,
right.
because of, you know, money builds all bridges, you know,
right.
kind of thing. But let's say it was, for sake of arguments, let's say Punk had not been seen, you know, dead, and the pipe bomb just, remember that cool time that one guy did that cool thing?
Yeah.
And it like a month and a half were really cool. You know, I don't want to say that Daniel Bryan would not be where he was today. Because I don't want to take stuff away from Daniel Bryan.
No, of course.
I think Daniel Bryan,
yeah.
you know, did not luck into this. I think he definitely fought and right. earned his way to the position he is. And I think that position was open, you know? I think that the company is very aware that Cena has to be within a couple of years of ending a full-time career.
Right.
Randy Orton is too old to be the next face, you know? Too many guys, they're
who've been in the spotlight for so long that You know, yeah, the company needs somebody new.
They are starting to reap the repercussions of having the same main event players for 7-8 years.
Right.
You know, that this is now the time. And I think Daniel Bryan is the right age and the right skill talent, and I still think he would have been there even without Punk.
Right.
You know, that being said, this little, you know, group of people that we want to smark out over,
right,
you know, still exists and is led by Punk.
Yeah.
You know, I think that a lot of fans who were casual fans, who had dropped the product when they were tired of Randy and John and Triple H trading the belt for a year and a half, I think that a lot of that kind of got, you know, rehooked with the, you know, the talk of the pipe bombers. If that leaked out into the world, and I saw that, you know, kind of pop up in places that had nothing to do with wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched, there was a guy who did his college presentation about the pipe bomb. It was like a public speaking class. And so his example, and so it's just a thing on the internet, but right. His example was the pipe bomb, and this is where the pipe bomb went. And I'm like, you know, it was a class of like 60 people. And I'd be totally willing to bet that at least one person in that class liked wrestling as a kid, kind of dipped out of it, and thought, I'll watch something again.
Right.
And I don't know if... I do know that I pay more attention to wrestling now than I did for a large percentage of, you know, my high school life kind of thing. But wrestling feels more in the cultural conscious now than it did, you know, 5, 7, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And while I won't, you know, heap all of that entirely on Punk, I think if you had to point to a specific thing, that's a place to point.
Right.
And because of that, that brought in a large chunk of the audience that is now chanting for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So, well, yes, I think Daniel Bryan...
he would have gotten to this point on his own.
Mm-hmm.
It just was made a little bit easier.
I think he was still destined, for lack of a better word, to be the next face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's me being grumpy. I'm wanting CM Punk or Dolph Ziggler to be the next face. Like, that's who I want. That's who I pick, you know. Somebody pointed out to me, Dolph Ziggler's been in the company for like 8 years. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Probably missed the boat on Dolph Ziggler being a long reigning champion now.
Probably.
He's been, like, ready to break through that final top for, like, years now. And I'm like, But...
still waiting on Kofi.
Still waiting on Kofi. Still waiting on Yoshi.
Like he's got, like, what, a couple years? More years before we give up on him?
I know, right? So, yes. That said, with CM Punk, his standpoint on his walkout, and if it was worth it being off of this card, a lot of people have spoken about, you know, their thoughts. A lot of, like, older wrestlers, a lot of people whose opinions are more informed than mine.
Right.
Mick Foley posted something about how when he was there, Punk was just hurt. Yeah. Like, just in a constant state of hurt.
I heard something similar from Kevin Nash.
He didn't have time to heal. He was not giving his body just the minimum amount of time that it needed to
recover
from the lifestyle that it was still continuing to live.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, beyond being just an uncomfortable way to live, is not the safest way to live.
No.
And, you know, I don't want to, and I don't think anybody wants to sit here and be grumpy that Punk's going to be gone for 4 months, 6 months to a year, you know, and would rather have him there than be able to come back and be healthy a year from now. You know, and he took off after WrestleMania 29, and I don't know if he got antsy or like they gave him an offer he couldn't refuse kind of thing.
Or just WWE got antsy.
Yeah, I'm sure he kind of got teased back with you and Paul Heyman have a falling out kind of thing. That was the thing to tease him back with. But yeah, I think Punk, you know, to try and guess what he's thinking, I think sucks that he couldn't do WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do WrestleMania 30. Right. If he had been on WrestleMania 30, he would have been a footnote on the show.
Considering everything else that was happening.
Considering the streak was broken on that show. Considering what Daniel Bryan went through on that show. And he would have forever looked at that match and known that everybody who bought that DVD or watched that on the network and watched his match... Because that match would have been watched by a lot of eyeballs, more than the average number of eyeballs watching a Punk match. And he would have known that many people were watching that match, and he wasn't putting on his best match. And I think that would probably eat at Punk more than the fact that he has to miss WrestleMania 30.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I think, again, just to guess, I think he thinks sucks, had to be done.
Mm. All right, we'll move on to the other half of... Sideshow Bob's email. He mentioned it before, his theory on why the build for WrestleMania didn't seem so big this year. The focus was on just wrestlers and not a lot of celebrities, or the celebrities involved were just older wrestlers. Some builds seem huge, even with lackluster cards, because of celebrity involvement. I'm very glad this one got over without BS celebrity timekeepers or bell ringers, but I think that may be part of why the build seemed odd. Fair enough, yeah. I mean, I agree.
And you can pinpoint celebrities, you know, it's a fair enough thing, because, yeah, I think it was like a lot of us were sitting here being like, the build-up to WrestleMania 30 has to be the biggest ever, because it's WrestleMania 30. And we, you know, and nobody's like, because they need to do this, it's like, it has to be big. Make it big. What is big? Go big.
Right.
Big now. Please big now. Yes, please big.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's probably pretty big, like, in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, having, like, gone through, like, some of the older WrestleManias where, like, 14 celebrities were needed for the main event.
Right.
I don't need that.
No. I honestly, the more I think about it, the more I really, really, really like WrestleMania 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm telling
you. The streak match wasn't as good as I would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock Lesnar would not ever have been the person I would have picked. But
yeah, the more that's a big moment.
That's a huge moment.
The more I think about it, the more I like that Brock Lesnar was picked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Paul Heyman, you know, kind of milking it every week.
Paul Heyman is the prettiest of Band-Aids on that wound. He is like a Snoopy and Woodstock Band-Aid that you wanted as a kid. Or Star Wars Band-Aid, whatever.
Okay, I was about to say, Star Wars Band-Aid's a lot more desirable.
Man. I don't know. What
personally, I would not have, like, you know, get a gash. Or just be a gangster and wear a Star Wars Band-Aid, because nothing screams gangster other than that.
Like Star Wars Band-Aids?
Yep.
Paul Heyman's nice, but, like, I don't know. It just feels like somebody having to bring Brock down because, you know, this cannot stand. It's almost like you have... The up-and-comer fella that we always said needed to break the streak, you know, let's take Cesaro so I can just have a name to say.
Yeah.
But, like, Cesaro breaking the streak would have made me be like, Right. You know, Cesaro beating Brock Lesnar, I could really get behind and still kind of be that same feather now. So I think it was smart. I really do.
Fair enough.
So.
I'm not arguing against you now. It's just no use in it.
Yeah.
And finally, we have a very special email. This comes from Sideshow Bob's 9-year-old daughter, who asked him this question, and then he related the question back to us to see what we would think. But she proposed that what if The Undertaker that lost at WrestleMania 30 was actually Ted DiBiase's fake Undertaker from years ago? And the kind of explanation would be the WWE's video team, which she named the Ministry of Truth, could then make a new updated video, surprise the audience, and erase the loss from the real Undertaker's records, and he can come back and kick Brock's butt.
how does a 9-year-old daughter know about the fake Undertaker?
I mean, Sideshow Bob has kind of been our whenever we were watching the WrestleManias, he was kind of our link to kind of like give us some sort of relevancy on exactly what meant what. So I'm assuming, you know, Sideshow Bob's daughter isn't necessarily
adorable.
It's adorable. I'm pretty sure she's well aware of WrestleMania history and wrestling history in general. I'm assuming she's very well versed. And yes, it is incredibly adorable. I'm trying to think of who the fake Undertaker was. I believe it was Kane.
Was it Kane?
I believe.
I mean, Luke Gallows has been fake Undertaker.
Well, yeah, but that was years later.
Yeah.
Either Kane was fake Undertaker or fake Diesel.
Oh, I think he was fake Diesel.
Yeah.
He might have been both, but I think he was fake Diesel.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you know, if
I don't want to say no because it's like having to tell somebody the Undertaker lost honestly, all over again.
Honestly, if WWE ever tried to come up with some sort of gimmick to get around to say that the streak wasn't over, this is probably about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of any other situation where, you know, short of, you know, some storyline where Rock tested positive for, you know, human growth hormone or something like that, and they had to expunge the record or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that would bum me out.
That would, exactly.
If, like, so, that was the storyline reason.
Right. And that's never going to happen because that would mean WWE would acknowledge HGH steroids and all that stuff on their own television. No, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that would be a painfully awkward situation to sit through. So I like Sideshow Bob's daughter's scenario much, much better.
Yes,
much more lighthearted. And I don't want to say plausible for WWE, but not exactly outside the realm of possibility.
I mean, yeah. Like, no, I mean, this is not just WWE. This is Undertaker WWE.
Right, right.
Who technically has lightning powers.
Who technically is a zombie.
Yes, technically this is a zombie with lightning powers. So.
Who loves his bikes.
He does love his bikes.
Or at least used to. He used to love bikes in America. I'm not so sure anymore. I think he just loves being dead.
I would be fine with him coming back with Biker Taker being like, nope, that's my undead brother, Underfaker. The streak lies on, Rev.
Well, but then you would have to...
I'm sorry, the streak rides on, that's what it would be.
Oh, God.
It would not be the streak lives on.
But then you would probably argue that, you know, that means...
Because Biker Taker won, like, what, once, twice?
Something like that. Because I know he was Biker Taker when he got to 10, I believe.
Okay.
He
was Biker Taker fighting Triple H.
Yes. So basically, he was saying that Underfaker took over after Biker Taker went away. So basically, the undefeated streak would go all the way back to whatever it was when the last Biker Taker wrestled at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which I think would be his match against Albert and Big Show. I believe that was the last one as Biker Taker.
Oh, man.
At 19, I want to say.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. It was the one where they kept saying Limp Bizkit was WWE's favorite band.
Oh, yeah.
And Limp Bizkit came out to do, like, 2 songs. It was painful. I wish they edited that out in the network.
Thanks, network.
Thank you so much, network.
All right.
Blessing and a curse.
As always...
Sorry.
Fair enough. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRATTIRE, CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays, appropriate Sundays. Have fun.
You spelled it out. That's new. Awesome. I love it. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, anything you want us to talk about on the mail sack, send those to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. I'm not going to spell that out.
We are also on iTunes. You look us up on iTunes. You can subscribe. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
You maybe write a review. That'd be super cool. Make you feel good on the inside.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.